Skin?
Yes, Mr. Edward. A little something off the ears, I think. Yes, Mr. Edward. The servant respectfully shut the door behind him, and then went down to the kitchen, shaking his head sadly. The Deaths hadn't been able to afford a family torturer for years. For the boy's sake, he'd just have to do the best he could with a kitchen knife. The visitors waited for the host to speak, but he didn't seem about to do so, although it was sometimes hard to tell with Edward. When he was excited, he suffered not so much from a speech impediment as from misplaced pauses, as if his brain were temporarily putting his mouth on hold. Eventually, one of the audience said,
"Very well, so, what is your point?"
"You've seen the likeness. Isn't it obvious?"
"Oh, come now."
Edward de Eth pulled a leather case towards him and began undoing the thongs.
But the boy was adopted by Discworld dwarfs. They found him as a baby in the forests of the Ramtop Mountains. There were some burning wagons, corpses, that sort of thing. Bandit attack, apparently. The dwarfs found a sword in the wreckage. He has it now. A very old sword. And it's always sharp.
So, the world is full of old swords and grindstones.
This one had been very well hidden in one of the carts, which had broken up. Strange, one would expect it to be ready to hand, yes, to be used, in bandit country. And then the boy grows up and fate conspires that he and his sword come to Ankh-Morpork, where he is currently a watchman in the night watch. I couldn't believe it.
That's still not... Edward raised his hand a moment, and then pulled out a package from the case.
I made careful inquiries, you know, and was able to find the place where the attack occurred. A most careful search of the ground revealed old cart nails, a few copper coins, and in some charcoal, this.
They craned to see.
Looks like a ring.
Yes, it's superficially discoloured, of course, otherwise someone would have spotted it. Probably secreted somewhere on a cart. I've had it partly cleaned. You can just read the inscription. Now, here is an illustrated inventory of the royal jewellery of Ankh, done in AM 907, in the reign of King Tyrrell. May I please draw your attention to the small wedding ring in the bottom left-hand corner of the page? You will see that the artist has helpfully drawn the inscription.
It took several minutes for everyone to examine it. They were naturally suspicious people. They were all descendants of people for whom suspicion and paranoia had been prime survival traits. Because they were all aristocrats. Not one among them did not know the name of his or her great-great-great-grandfather and what embarrassing disease he died of. They had just eaten a not very good meal, which had, however, included some ancient and worthwhile wines. They'd attended because they'd all known Edward's father, and the De'eths were a fine old family, if now in very reduced circumstances.
"So you see," said Edward proudly, "the evidence is overwhelming. We have a king."
His audience tried to avoid looking at one another's faces.
"I thought you'd be pleased," said Edward.
Finally, Lord Rust voiced the unspoken consensus. There was no room in those true blue eyes for pity, which was not a survival trait, but sometimes it was possible to risk a little kindness.
"Edward," he said, "the last king of Ankh-Morpork died centuries ago."
"Executed by traitors."
"Even if a descendant could still be found, the royal blood would be somewhat watered down by now, don't you think?"
"The royal blood cannot be watered down."
"Ah," thought Lord Rust, "so he's that kind. Young Edward thinks the touch of a king can cure scrofula as if royalty was the equivalent of a sulphur ointment. Young Edward thinks that there is no lake of blood too big to wade through to put a rightful king on a throne, no deed too base in defence of a crown. A romantic, in fact." Lord Rust was not a romance.